You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. My husband's birthday last year was hard for me because I was trying to figure out what to buy him. And I was, you know, I went online and I, you know, you Google good gifts for husband and, you know, dad gifts and things like that. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to buy him an Amazon Echo. And when that arrived, I showed it to my 13-year-old son, Griffin, and he freaked out. He was like, don't bring that in the house. It's listening all the time. I don't want that anywhere. Daddy's not going to like it either. And so I wrapped it anyway, despite Griffin's warnings and admonitions. And I said, you know what, let's see what Daddy thinks. And my husband, Steve, agreed. He did not want it in the house. And according to our guests, maybe my husband and my son have a point. Joining us is Jane Barat, who is a documentary filmmaker. He's a speaker and author of the groundbreaking nonfiction book, Our Final Invention, Artificial Intelligence and the End of the Human Era. So, James, are my husband and son correct in this? Echo listening? Yes?
Yeah, I've been listening. And I think, yeah, I wouldn't put them in my house. We know that Google has played fast and loose with our privacy for years. You know, they Google, Amazon, these companies sell our data. Selling data is a $3 billion a year industry. And so you're inviting them into your home and putting a microphone directly into their storage. So they can take all your words and parse through them and sell your information to data marketers.
Because they do target you when it comes to advertising. You can see that on Facebook. If you are searching for something on Amazon, all of a sudden whatever you were searching for on Amazon pops up in your news thread on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. It follows you around. And that's, you know, we've just got to be wary where the data goes. It doesn't, if you've got Amazon Echo or Google Home in your house, the data doesn't stay in your house. It goes to the cloud, it goes to their servers. Well, and they can and you give them permission to sell it, you know, when you sign on to their services.
And people will say there are so many great assets to having artificial intelligence in your home, makes things easier. Are there precautions to take if you have Echo?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are. You know, Echo, Home, these are devices that are turned on by wake words. Like you have to say, okay, Google, or okay, Alexa. And there's some, like, I use Siri all the time for driving directions. Just use common sense, and you can also control the privacy through the settings.
Okay.
You control your privacy through the settings on these devices.
So will it ask you?
You can take common sense steps to guard your privacy.
But in the privacy settings, are one of those elements perhaps, you know, don't share my information?
You know, that probably is something you can target, but there's just no guarantee.
Right, it's not foolproof. It's just you're just clicking checking a box, but not necessarily protecting yourself.
That's right. You know, Google the Google car that used to go around and take images of streets and still does. Years ago, it would also take data from your wireless transmission in your house and your local area network information. So it sucked up all that data.
What?
They were sued in Europe for that. It was getting local passwords. It was getting it was just hoovering up a lot of data from the neighborhood when it was driving through. Allegedly, they've stopped that, but several European countries sued them to stop that. So I wouldn't trust them very far, because here's what will happen eventually. If you're talking about your medical issues with your Amazon Echo or with your Google Home, if you're ordering, if you're doing queries about medical conditions or ordering a lot of medicine, you may find yourself being turned down for health insurance someday.
Because it's been collected and sold to whatever companies are out there that are collecting that data.
Exactly. If you may find yourself being turned down for a mortgage. If you're constantly asking queries about bankruptcy or refinancing, so this data does not stay in your house, and these companies have a long history of collecting data and abusing our privacy. So we do have to be really wary.
Okay, those are the scary elements. We're going to talk about more scary things because it gets worse from here. And that's so you've mentioned finances and health as things to be cautious about when you are searching. Maybe something hurts and you wonder if you have cancer, and then that leads you towards the information being gathered and insurance companies going, oh, there's someone who is at risk, and whether or not you're Googling how do I get out of bankruptcy or how bad is that for my future. How about if you're just searching for like entertainment? Let's say you really want to find out what the next movie that Natalie Portman's making. That seems innocuous.
That is innocuous. I think that's innocuous. I don't want to be too alarmist, but we're opening the book on our lives when we bring these devices into your home. So I think your husband's absolutely right to be very, very careful about that.
Oh, and it's such a, I would say my son even more so. I mean, he was downright angry with me because he has talked a lot. He's gotten into arguments with his classmates, and we are raising a generation of kids who are more than willing to just hand it over, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, and not only that, these devices are getting smarter and smarter. I mean, there was a lawsuit recently about a doll called My Friend Kayla, mm-hmm. and Kayla would ask children a lot of questions about their personal lives, about their parents' telephone numbers, about what they liked and didn't like, and all that data was being sent to the cloud and then sold to marketers. So the same, you pointed out a really good example. The ads that follow you around on the internet. I ordered a pair of boots. I think it was 6 weeks ago. These boot ads are still following me around.
Right.
That stuff that's valuable information for people.
Sure,
so
because
they're going to buy it and sell it
because they already know that you're inclined or that you're interested in that product. So they see you as an easy target.
They also get. They get revenue if you respond to an ad that's following you around. The company that posted that ad gets what's called click through revenue. So they get money. They get a little ka-ching when you follow through on that advertisement. So the data that's going into your Amazon Echo or your Google Home is part of that big commercial equation.
So they're collecting all of our information. We try to take as many precautions at my house as possible, and then I realize I take all these photos, and that goes into the cloud. And my son Griffin, they give you these sort of categories of here's your story, and here are these faces, here's all the photos with these faces. And I realize even though I've been safe and not posted my kids' pictures on Facebook or on Instagram, it's already kind of accessible to Google. Not kind of, it absolutely is.
It absolutely is, and Google and Facebook are using these. There's some really good uses for this information. They're taking all those pictures of faces, and they're using them to create face recognition technology and to match faces to names, and that improves the technology. Massive amounts of data that you're entering, massive numbers of pictures, improves the computer's ability to recognize faces and to put names to faces. But that's also a gigantic database that companies can use to target you for marketing individually. It's also a giant database that the government can use to keep tabs on where everybody is, because these cameras are everywhere, as you know.
Right.
There's surveillance systems everywhere. In the UK, they've been doing this for years. In the Kingdom, they've been matching face recognition technology with big databases of faces and names. So ultimately, what you get is a 24/7 surveillance state. So the government and businesses know where you are and what you're doing all the time. So we have to ask ourselves, is that the future we want?
Is it a future we can prevent at this point? Has it already been a tipping point that it's gotten away from us?
Well, that's the nature of the technology. Our innovation runs way ahead of our stewardship. We make mistakes and then patch it up later. Yeah, I think we've gone pretty far. I mean, when we've got it's kind of funny when we've got this program that everyone uses or a service called Facebook that's free, and it's called Facebook, so it's not hiding what it's doing. And we all throw our pictures up there, and then we're surprised when the government knows what we look like, and when businesses target us for ads when they see our face.
Well, people will say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about. But that's not always the case.
Well, it's not, that's right. And it's not, you do have something to worry about if you don't want your financial or health, your personal life intimately known to everyone.
And we should probably all want to protect that.
We all want to protect something. We all want to protect some information about ourselves, and that's just normal, and that's prudent. I don't put my kids on the internet. I just don't put their faces on the internet.
I don't either.
I don't think there's somebody out there that's collecting faces, collecting pictures of children. There's somebody that wants to market to those, to my kids.
Right. We are talking to James Barrett. He's a documentary filmmaker. He's a speaker and author of the groundbreaking nonfiction book, Our Final Invention, Artificial Intelligence and the End of the Human Era. If you would hang on the line with us for another segment, we can go into the even more scary stuff. We've been talking about collecting information. Now let's see how someone can hack your car and drive you off a cliff. More after this on 720 WGN.
This is Brian Wickert, owner of Low Overhead Acunet Mortgage, with a mortgage rate alert. The odds of the Federal Reserve hiking rates another 0.25% at their March 15th meeting are now up to 93%. That means anyone with a home equity line of credit will see their rate jump for the second time in just a few months. So if you have a balance on your home equity line of credit, or you've been just putting off that refinance, this is your official wake-up call. The hot purchase market also has home values rising, and that opens up the opportunity to get rid of your PMI or FHA mortgage insurance or take some cash out. You know, most homeowners still just go back to their bank or wherever they have their mortgage now, but that can be a big mistake because Acunet's closing costs are typically $1,000 to $3,000 less than the banks and big online lenders for the same rate. Find out how much you can save today by clicking on the blue button at Acunet.com before Janet Yellen turns the rate dial up another notch. That's ACCUNET.com.
Acunet Mortgage is an equal housing lender and Illinois residential mortgage licensee, NMLS ID 255536A, 13,000 West Silver Spring Drive in Low Overhead, Butler, Wisconsin 53007.
Few moments bring you joy like going to the mailbox after you've done your taxes, pulling it open, reaching in, discarding the junk mail, and then pulling out that item you've been waiting so... What? Someone already filed for my return? It sounds like a horror story, but it's a reality. Identity thieves can use your personal information to file for your refund or commit other forms of ID theft. In fact, the IRS identified approximately $4.1 billion in suspected identity theft tax refund fraud in 2016. Thankfully, there's LifeLock. When you're a member, you have access to a team of U.S.-based specialists who know the steps to take and the calls to make to fix identity issues, whether it happens during tax season or any other time. Join now and get 10% off. Head to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code LIFELOCK. That's promo code LIFELOCK. LifeLock.
New music. Eclectic music. Experimental music. Chicago music. Chicago music.
Seeing a pattern here?
Sound Sessions on Demand on WGN Plus. We are the voice of Chicago music.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, wondering how many cameras. Well, I know that there are four cameras on me right now. You can all watch me on WGNradio.com. I don't hide myself. I share a lot of, I have no shame, I would say. There's a lot of photos of me on Facebook. I document pretty much everything. I'm in the limelight, somewhat. I mean, I'm not a celebrity, but I share a lot of stuff. I'm open. My husband and my son are very very protective of their privacy, and I try to respect that. And we've been talking with James Barrett, who's a documentary filmmaker, and he's written the book Our Final Invention, Artificial Intelligence and the End of the Human Era. Let's live there for a moment. What do you mean by the end of the human era?
Well, my book is about the dual nature of artificial intelligence, and that means artificial intelligence offers great rewards, but also great peril. And as Stephen Hawking said, in the short term, we have to be concerned about who controls the AI. In the long term, we have to be concerned about, can the AI be controlled at all?
Right.
And, and Stephen Hawking has talked about this, the physicist Stephen Hawking has talked about this himself, that we could lose control of artificial intelligence and gradually have it take over our lives. So that's the end of the human era part of that.
Well, and I have a friend who's fascinated by the idea of singularity, and a lot of people maybe haven't heard of that. Can you explain to people what singularity is?
Sure. The concept singularity is basically the time that comes when we share the planet with smarter than human machines. As everyone knows, we are in an intelligence race right now. So a lot of companies are trying to develop machines that are as smart and then smarter than humans in a general sense. And these are companies like Amazon, Google, Baidu in China, IBM. They're trying to create machines that are as smart as people. And then shortly after that, we'll have machines that are smarter than people. And the question is, will we be able to control them? So the whole nature of the singularity is when the time comes that we share the planet with, that we've created smarter than human machines, will it be a time of utopia? Will these machines solve all our problems, or will it be a time of danger?
And one of the things, it's Dr. Charles Turk, who's a friend of the show. He's talked about being able to basically upload your memories and live in perpetuity through a machine.
Well, that's a great idea. It's a very utopian idea. Ray Kurzweil, who's a great inventor, he's won the Thomas Edison Award, now is working for Google, working on their brain project. He wants to upload, he wants to upload his brain into a computer and then live virtually forever.
Right.
It's an interesting idea. What's happening is our interface with the computer is not developing as rapidly as the computer's intelligence is developing. So it's not clear if we're going to meld with computers and have them enhance our brains, or if the computers are simply going to run away in a kind of intelligence explosion.
Okay, so the biggest factor right now, until machines and robots are smarter than we are, is that humans are now controlling that in so many different aspects, so many different companies, so many different private sectors, nefarious individuals who want to do harm, whether it's by government or just individuals. Talk to us a little bit about, part of this I was reading is how robots can perhaps mix toxic substances with food or drinks. Maybe small robots can start fires in your home, elements like that you discuss in various ways.
Boy, so it does sound pretty scary, doesn't it? I'm going to gather up my robots and hide them or take their batteries out.
Yes.
There's a concern right now generally with the Internet of Things. Now, the Internet of Things is where everything in your house is connected to the Internet, and a lot of it is given some intelligence. So the way we're headed with the Internet of Things is everything that's electrified will be cognitized, and that means intelligence will be added to anything that's currently electric. The danger is, of course, that someone could hack into your house and change the temperature, change the settings on all your appliances. Hackers have hacked into cars. Our cars are now all, you can communicate with many of our cars wirelessly, and they can be hacked. And there's some concern that the robots of the future, the household robots, will be hackable and could be turned against us by bad guys. That's still a little bit of a science fiction idea right now.
A little bit, but enough for it to be significant, I think.
Well, we've got to watch these things. I have a hard time connecting everything in my home to the internet, just because, again, there's that data question.
Right.
Do I want hackers to know when I'm not home?
Right.
Do I want them to know when I turn my heating down and up? I don't think I want that information out there. The more we centralize that information, the easier it is for the hackers to get in and gather a lot of it. So it's not just they're hacking into the cloud, and they're not hacking into which is just basically a large data center. They're not necessarily hacking into your individual homes, but the cloud is like it's where all our information is gathered. So we've all seen this happen before. That information includes your credit card information, your driver's license information. That opens us up to identity theft. So every time we connect a new device to the internet, we open our door a little bit more to people that want to steal from us.
Ugh. And are there? I'm reading that there's also a move to have robotic soldiers. That sounds like something out of a movie, and yet it doesn't seem.
Well, no, that's Unfortunately, that's true. Stephen Hawking said it best when he said, as I mentioned a minute ago, in the short term we have to worry about who controls the AI. Right now there's a race going on to create autonomous battlefield robots and drones, and these are battlefield robots and drones that kill people without a human in the loop. So they without a human in that decision making loop, and so we'll create these sort of automatic killing machines. This isn't science fiction. This is happening right now. These machines are in the lab. They've got drone systems now where you can. The theory is, and I'm fairly certain this is factual, that you can give the drone enough data about an individual, not somebody in the United States, but somebody in Central Asia who the intelligence agencies want to take out, and these drones can track them down without a human even being involved.
And that might sound appealing to people because we don't put our soldiers in harm's way, but at the same time, we're taking out what we train soldiers to do, which is to make a decision based on their intelligence, their experience. And if you just take out and there is an element of emotion and, you know, the respect for human life. And if you remove that and you just have a robot doing that, that sounds and again, we talked about hacking there, you know, who's to say at some point we can't hack the soldiers?
That's exactly right. There's a big problem of culpability there. Like if your robot soldier goes crazy and kills a bunch of civilians, then who's to blame? Is it the software, the guy that wrote the software? Is it the guy that made the robot? Or is it the battalion commander?
Right.
So until we establish those things, we better not be making these tools that act that autonomously. And you're absolutely right. We have to come back down to our personal volition and the whole nature of free will. We can't give this much responsibility to machines.
Before we let you go, and I thank you so much for all your time tonight and staying up so late.
Sure.
Again, I asked you earlier, what are the steps we can take? I mean, do we speak out to our lawmakers and say, please be sure that you're making the right choice? What are the elements?
That's an excellent question. I would say, I wrote Our Final Invention, my book, to try to get these issues out to the public, because I think the first thing we have to do is everybody needs to be aware, because these issues don't just impact the technologists or wealthy people or any part of our population. They affect everybody. And there's a continuum of issues that technology impacts, going all the way from our privacy to robot soldiers to our safety. So we just need to, the first thing we need to do is get up to speed on issues of artificial intelligence and automation. I mean, there's a whole other part of this we haven't gone into about jobs and AI and automation taking jobs. The best thing we can do is be aware so that when policy issues come up, we can vote in a smart way.
Well, thank you so much for all the information. And everyone can go to his website. That's jamesbarrett.com, jamesbarrett.com, and wolfmanproductions.com/James-Barrett. Thank you so much, sir. Is there any other site you want to direct people? I know that your book is Our Final Invention, which is available on various websites.
I think that's a good starting. I think that's naturally I'd say that, of course. I think that's a great starting place, Patty, to start getting acclimated about the both the good and the bad parts of this technological revolution we're going through.
Well, I look forward to having you on the show again. I'm going to have so many more questions because I will play this for my husband and my son listen to the podcast. So they are going to be thrilled that we covered this. And, of course, I told you so. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure thing. It was my pleasure.
Excellent. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you again soon.